Make Walters your spot, not only before and after every game at Nationals Park, but Walters also is right by Audi Field, and DC United, the Washington Spirit, and the DC Defenders are all in season.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Delivers, swing and a line drive left center field. That's a base hit toward the gap, and it will roll to the fence. It's a double for Mookie Betts. He's at second, driving in his 17th run of the year. Two runs home in the inning. It's now the Dodgers 3 and the Nationals nothing. Rainey coming set. And the pitch, swinging a ground ball right side and into right center, a base hit. Rounding third is Rojas. He will score as Thomas gets it into second base. And he now has 3 5-hit games in his career. 5 for 5. Two doubles, 3 singles, 2 runs batted in, and 2 runs scored. And the Dodgers now lead by the score of 6-2.
And welcome to Nats Chat for Wednesday, April 17th, 2024. Along with MadsenSports.com, Nationals insider Mark Zuckerman, who is at Dodger Stadium in Los Angeles. I'm Al Galdi, host of the Al Galdi podcast. There hopefully will come a day, hopefully sometime soon, on which we can say that the Nationals have one of the best players in baseball. Perhaps that will be C.J. Abrams. Perhaps that will be James Wood. Perhaps that will be Dylan Cruz. Perhaps that will be all three. But for now, the Los Angeles Dodgers have multiple players who qualify as being among the best in baseball. And the Nats late night on Tuesday night got worked by one of those players. A 6-2 loss at the Dodgers in game 2 of a 3-game series. The Nats on their 9-game road trip in California now are 4-4. And for this regular season now are 7-10. This installment of the Nats Chat podcast is brought to us by the Fred Nats Star Wars Night in Northern Virginia this upcoming Saturday evening, April 20th. Tickets start at just $10. You can buy your tickets now at frednats.com/tickets. Catch the future stars of the Washington Nationals right down the road in Fredericksburg. Mookie Betts. He late night on Tuesday night as the Dodgers starting shortstop and number one batter went 5 for 5, RBI double, another double, an RBI single, and 2 other singles. Mookie Betts for this regular season is number 2 among all qualified players in the majors in OPS at 1,190. And yet, take a look at who is number 5 in OPS and who is number 1 in on-base percentage. The Nationals' Jesse Winker, his great play continued in this game. We'll see if we wind up with an MVP duel between Mookie Betts and Jesse Winker this summer. But Mark, Mookie Betts was a force in this game.
He's pretty good, Al. I think he's got a chance to be something special, don't you? And he's doing all this now as an infielder who goes between second base and shortstop after playing outfield most of his career. I mean, it's a crazy thing to consider. And, you know, Patrick Corbin certainly didn't have anything to stop Mookie Betts. I'm not sure anybody would have had anything to stop him on this night. That 1-2-3 in that lineup is so imposing and presents so many different challenges. And it really makes you appreciate what Mitchell Parker did the previous night to have success against them the way that he did. That was phenomenal by him, because most pitchers, I don't care how accomplished you are going to have a much tougher time doing that. And somebody who is not pitching very well and hasn't been for quite a while, like Patrick Corbin, it seems like a Herculean task especially when you're asking him to now face those guys four times in a game, as was the case in this one tonight.
Yeah, Patrick Corbin was not good once again, and he now is in the midst of a fifth consecutive bad season. Half a decade of bad pitching from Patrick Corbin. Let that sink in. Corbin in this game officially allowed 5 runs in 6 2/3 innings. He gave up 9 hits, which were made up of a homer, 2 doubles, and 6 singles. He issued 4 walks, one of which was intentional. Did record 5 strikeouts, which by current Patrick Corbin standards isn't too bad. Did throw a pretty good number of strikes, 96 pitches, 60 strikes, 36 balls. But whatever, 5 runs in 6 2/3 innings. 4 starts into this regular season for Corbin. The ERA is at 8.06. The whip is at 1.97. Man, he's not even easing into this season. Like, from the get-go, this guy is being really bad.
Well, every start he's made, that's 4 of them now, he has given up at least 4 runs in each of them. He also gave up at least 4 runs in his last 2 starts. Then the last season, remember, we were hoping or thinking, hey, he might actually get the ERA under 5. No, that didn't happen. This is the new norm. This is who he is. I mean, he was all set to come out of this game 6 innings, 4 runs. And while that's not good, and that doesn't equate to a very good ERA at all, it's a 6 ERA, as a matter of fact. I don't know that it's, at this point, you can expect anything more than that. Certainly not against a good lineup like this. The one thing that he's providing them right now is innings every fifth day. And by him staying out there and reaching the 7th inning, I guess it gave some guys in the bullpen a rest. And maybe that pays dividends on Wednesday when they play the last game of a very long road trip and have a day off after that. So you would think everybody's then becomes available. But boy, it's a lot of money to spend on somebody whose primary responsibility is just eating up innings and taking pressure off the bullpen, because you want him to give you a chance to win, and he's really not doing that. It takes a significant offensive effort to counteract what he does, and it's a lot to ask, and that's why he is 0-3 right now with an ERA around 8.
There will be many things said about the Patrick Corbin tenure with the Nats when that tenure is over. I think one of the things will be, it is amazing that he was this bad and was allowed to make this many starts. I think that says so much about the state of Nats starting pitching these last few years. But, you know, specific to this season, so age 34 season, 6th and final season of the contract, 6 years, $140 million signed in December 2018. The hope would be, if he continues to be bad like this, is that he's out of the Nats rotation at some point this year. But we know the deal. The Nats do not have many highly regarded pitching prospects. And especially with Josiah Gray on the 15-day injured list and Cade Cavalli on the 60-day injured list, how realistic is it that Corbin will be out of the rotation at least anytime soon? Is that a realistic possibility in your mind?
Anytime soon, I probably think not. I think we're talking further into the summer, maybe once Cavalli is healthy. Hopefully by that point, Josiah Gray's back, and hopefully nobody else has gotten hurt or had any issues between now and then. It's why he and Trevor Williams are still here, because you don't know what's going to happen with the others. And you can say, well, hey, we've got these 5 young guys we can throw out there. But the moment one of them gets hurt or doesn't do well, doesn't look up to the challenge, now you're stuck. So at least these are sure things in terms of being able to take the ball for you every fifth day. I think in the Nationals' perfect world, he pitches well enough to actually have some trade value in July. The odds of that might not be that great unless he can kind of get hot at the last moment. I mean, look, Mike Rizzo traded John Lester, so I guess anything is possible. But if it doesn't come to that, you would hope there's a point that they have enough else available to them that they can say, okay, it's time to finally just put him in the bullpen and have him be a quote-unquote long man for them. But I don't think they're there yet. I know people have been waiting for several years for them to be there and be able to do that. I don't think they're there yet. We don't know what Mitchell Parker is going to be. We've seen 1 start from him. We don't know for sure when Josiah Gray is coming back. We don't know for sure what Cade Cavalli is going to be when he comes back. So there's a lot of what-ifs still that have to come together before I think you can start contemplating making a move with Corbin.
Yeah, I think the guy who I look at is Jackson Rutledge. And I said this to you a few weeks ago. I really think it's go time for Rutledge. I mean, he should be at the major league level by now. I know he got hit by a ball that was hit back to him recently. And there have been a bunch of rainouts at the AAA level. So it hasn't exactly been like smooth sailing for him so far this season. but we need to expedite this process with Rutledge, okay? Like, let's get him going. He should be pitching at the major league level, and perhaps he can be someone who can be the someone who supplants Patrick Corbin in the rotation, but we shall see.
Fredericksburg Nationals. When it comes to fun, we hit a home run.
Fred Nat's Baseball is back with fun for the whole family. Hitch a ride in the Millennium Falcon and travel to a galaxy far, far away this Saturday for Star Wars Night presented by the Rappahannock Area YMCA. The force will be strong with the Fred Nats as they look to defend the ballpark from the invading forces of the Fayetteville Woodpeckers. The team will suit up in specialty jerseys, which will be auctioned off after the game. Fans can also meet their favorite Star Wars characters on the concourse and head to the team store for limited edition tees. It'll be a night full of intergalactic fun for Jedis and Sith Lords alike. Tickets are just $10. Buy yours now at frednats.com/forwardtickets. Catch the future stars of the Washington Nationals right down the road in Fredericksburg. When it comes to fun, we
hit a home run. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
And the pitch. Lined into shallow center field. This one is falling. It is a base hit. Robert Hassel, the third, scores. And Dylan Cruz with the game winner. 3-2. The Senators walk off the Richmond Flying Squirrels. A triple by Hassel and a single by Cruz.
Three, two pitch. Swinging a blast to right center field and deep. Back goes Páez to the track at the wall, and it is gone. Halfway up the section in right center field, Jesse Winker with a two-run blast, his second of the year. Nats are on the board. They trail it 3-2. Stay hot, Jesse Winker.
Well, the Nats' offense in this game on Tuesday night, not nearly as good as the offense was in the win on Monday night. The Nats in this game, just two runs, just six hits, just one walk, 2-for-7 with runners in scoring position. The Dodgers went with a bullpen game, and the Nats got shut down a lot of 1-2-3 innings, especially as the game went on. But, you know, I mentioned Jesse Winker. This really is something. And yes, if you look at your major league batting leaderboards, Jesse Winker is number one among all qualified players in the majors in on-base percentage at 500, one spot ahead of Mookie Betts, and Winker's number five in terms of OPS. He in this game on Tuesday night, starting designated hitter, number two batter, 2-for-3 with a two-run homer, a double, and a hit by pitch. Top of the first, a double to right field. And then Winker in an ads, a two-run third, a one-out full count, two-run homer on a moonshot into the Los Angeles Night. This one hit to center field, cut the Nats deficit to 3-2, 429 feet per Statcast. And then in the top of the eighth, Winker drew a two-out hit by pitch. It's a remarkable deal. This is a guy signed to a minor league contract in February, doing as he's doing. We obviously aren't expecting this to keep up, but he really has been productive. This has been a real bright spot for the Nats so far.
And some consistency there that we haven't seen from others. There's other guys you say, oh, well, he had a good game or two. Maybe that'll get him going. And then they don't. Jesse Winker has been there really from the get-go for them. And he deserves to be their number two hitter at the moment, as crazy as that sounds. That home run off a lefty, Ryan Yarbrough, that's a great sign if he's doing that. He also hit another line out off him in the sixth. So good, solid contact all around. The double in the first inning as well. And let's see where this goes, but this isn't, it feels out of nowhere, but this is a guy who was a pretty good player just a few years ago with the Reds, and things didn't go for well for him after that, the last couple of years in Milwaukee and Seattle. We've mentioned it before, he's lost a lot of weight. He, I think, has sort of recommitted himself to a lot of things, and more than anything, he seems to really be enjoying himself here and with this team and in this clubhouse, and why wouldn't you, the way that he's playing? But his performance, I think, has changed the calculus somewhat in what they're doing elsewise with the lineup. It's pushed Joey Meneses to the bench the last 2 days and three of the last 4 days. I'm not saying that Jesse Winker should be the roadblock to James Wood being called up to the big leagues, but if you're hesitant at all to make that move, you can look at this and say, well, hey, Winker's hitting so well, we don't have to force that issue until we're absolutely sure. So I think that's part of it too. I think he keeps doing this, it is going to change the calculus somewhat as far as how they approach their outfield and DH spots.
This is Winker's age 30 season. He has had success previously, as we've talked about. Winker, as recently as the 2021 regular season, had an OPS plus of 143 with Cincinnati. Maybe this is this season's Jamer Candelario, a guy on whom the Nats bought low, but a guy who has played well previously and a guy who you can maybe parlay into being a trade chip. I mentioned Winker having a double in the top of the first. Thrown out at home on that double was C.J. Abrams. And we're not used to seeing that, right? Abrams thrown out on the base pass.
Chased down by Teoscar Hernandez. Abrams around third being waved home. Throw to the plate. They may get him. And he is out.
Abrams in this game, starting shortstop, number one batter, 1-for-3 with a single and a walk. He in the top of the first had a leadoff full count single to center field despite having been down to the count at 1.12, but he then was thrown out at home on that Jesse Winker double to right field. Now, I want to give Abrams credit for the walk. Later in the game, a great walk. Top of the eighth, a two-out, 10-pitch walk, despite having been down at 1.12. But on the play at home on which Abrams got thrown out, it was hard to tell on TV what exactly happened. Kevin Franzen on the Masson telecast actually seemed to point the finger of blame at the Nats' third base coach, Ricky Gutierrez. I saw what you posted on X about the play. So being there live, what did you see?
So here's what I saw was, as he's about two steps in front of third base, and with Gutierrez waving him around, his helmet flies off. And this isn't the first time that's happened with him. It seems to happen a lot with him. A lot of the guys on this team, for whatever reason, their helmets seem to fly off a lot. And it popped straight back over his head and towards his back. And for some reason, I don't know why, it's just instinct, he put both his hands behind his back and tried to catch it, essentially, behind his back, which is a great move if you're just coasting into third base and stopping there. But he wasn't. The idea was to keep going. And once that happened, I mean, it clearly slowed him down. Once that happened, he needed to stop. Don't even attempt it anymore. And instead, he kept going and he was out by a comfortable margin. If he just runs straight through it, I think there's a very good chance he scores on the play. But that little hesitation and the bizarre attempt by him to try to catch his helmet like that completely messed up the play. Now, you can say maybe Gutierrez should have just held him up from the get-go. That's not worth it. No outs in the first inning. Try to get a big inning and don't do that. But I think there was a chance under normal circumstances of him scoring on that play. And I don't really know why he reacted the way that he did to the helmet popping off.
Am I remembering this right? Didn't Bryce Harper, when he was running the bases, used to purposely knock his helmet off?
Yes, he absolutely did. He saw it as an impediment to him. And so he would just flip it off and go for broke and hair flying all over the place as they go around the bases. Maybe that's the way to go here. You know, Abrams wears a, we call it a do-rag over his hair and underneath the helmet. It's maybe a little slippery. Maybe that makes the helmet come off. I noticed it happened to James Wood a lot in spring training. I think it happened to Trey Lipscomb a few times while he was up here. I don't know if they need tighter helmets or some kind of stickier material that keeps it on. Or like you said, just do the Bryce thing, flip it off and go. But there's no reason to try to make a circus catch of a helmet flying off while the game is in action and while you're trying to round third base. So at the very least, he needed to hold up at that point, or even better than that, just let the helmet go and take off for the plate and maybe you score.
Regarding the walk that was drawn by Abrams, so we know that this is a part of his game on which he needed to improve, draw more walks. He, for the entirety of last regular season, drew just 32 walks. He already in this regular season has 6 walks. Now, that may not sound like a ton, but we're essentially a tenth of a way into the season. So you multiply that by 10, that would be 60 walks. He's on pace to nearly double his walk output from last season. Pretty clearly, drawing more walks is a point of emphasis for him.
Yeah, and he started to do that late last season as well. I think in September, the walk rate went up considerably for him. So yeah, if you're going to lead off, you have to be able to do that, pick the right pitches to hit, and if you don't get it, lay off. And that was a weird at bat in the eighth because he looked like he was struck out. The Dodgers were all coming off the field, and Adrian Johnson, the home plate umpire, said, no, hang on, foul tip. I saw one quick replay. I couldn't tell for sure if he actually tipped it or not. If he didn't, that's a great job by CJ to sell it because it prolonged the at bat. And believe it or not, between that and then Winker getting hit by a pitch, all of a sudden in a game where it felt like they had nothing going at all, Lane Thomas steps to the plate with 2 outs in the eighth, 2 on, down 3. Yes, the proverbial tying run at the plate, and the boys were battling for at least a brief moment there in the bottom of an eighth of a game in which it didn't feel like they were battling much at all.
Few other items with the Nats lineup. Finally, Riley Adams was not the Nats starting catcher in a game. Drew Millis got the nod. He was the Nats starting catcher, number 8 batter, 0 for 3 with a strikeout. And once again, no Joey Meneses. This is something new given what we've seen these last few years. Meneses not starting these last 2 games. We had Jesse Winker as a designated hitter. We had Joey Gallo as a first baseman in the outfield left to right. Eddie Rosario, Jacob Young, and Lane Thomas. I guess this is perhaps a new normal for Joey Meneses, you know, with him struggling right now.
So I asked Davey Martinez about it before the game, and he said that it's basically a product of where things are at the moment. Joey is struggling. Winker is playing really well. He also likes Jacob Young in center field, so that takes up a spot as well. But he said he met with Joey and specifically said to him, this is not a demotion. You're going to get back in there here again soon. That he's been working on some things in the cage, and you know, he's made it clear he's not giving up on him. But you know, I think we do have to acknowledge as we get further into the season and given what the other options are and given the fact that Joey Meneses is such a remarkable story, debuting at age 30, so great, was solid but not as good last year and off to a really slow start this year, that there is some pressure on him. You're not going to ride that forever, and especially knowing that there's more help still coming at some point. So knowing Joey, he has always felt like he was on the verge of being sent back down. He has never taken it for granted that he reached the big leagues the way that he did. And you hope he's not putting more pressure on himself because of that. I think he's been at his best when he just goes out there and relaxes and hits the way that he knows he can. So far this year, it has not gone well for him. And you hope that maybe a couple of days on the bench help him clear his mind. But I could also see it going the other way. And all of a sudden, when he is back in the lineup again, whether that's Wednesday or this weekend, not gripping the bat a little too tight and trying to make too much happen.
You mentioned Jacob Young. He, in this game on Tuesday night, 1 for 3 with an infield single and to steal a second base. Young in the Nats, 2-run third, leadoff infield single to shortstop Mookie Betts deep in the hole, despite having been down at 1.12. And then Young on the very next pitch, a steal of second base. That is always such a beautiful thing. When you're that fast, you don't have to waste time, you know, dancing off the first base bag. It's like, next pitch you go. He was in rather easily. 19 for 19 is Jacob Young on stolen bases to begin his major league regular season career. That is impressive.
It's really impressive. It is a combination of great athletic skill, but also he studies the pitchers. He's smart about when he goes. And when he knows that he's got it, based on who the pitcher and the catcher are, he doesn't waste any time. He just does it. And it's really going to be interesting in the long run to see what Jacob Young becomes as a player. Is he going to be an everyday outfielder for this organization, given who their other outfielders, young outfielders are? That's a lot to ask of him. But the base running skills, the defensive skills, and if he has just a little bit of ability to get hits or just get on base to allow him to take advantage of those base running skills, there could absolutely be a place for him to have a long career in the big leagues. He's got a long way to go still to prove it, but he has the kind of skill set that a lot of teams would drool over in a fourth outfielder. And I think in a perfect world, that's what he ends up becoming for them.
Hey, Al Galdi here for Window Nation. Baseball season finally is here. Spring finally is here. And that means a great offer from Window Nation for listeners of the Nats Chat podcast. If your windows are cracked or leaking and or won't open or stay open, now is the time to call Window Nation, which is offering the following deal to listeners of the Nats Chat podcast. Two free windows for every two windows that you buy, plus zero down, zero interest, and zero payments for 24 months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com and make sure that you tell Window Nation that you want the deal that you heard about from Al Galdi on the Nats Chat podcast. Upgrade the look, feel, and value of your home with great new Window Nation windows. Window Nation is the best, and take advantage of the offer. Two free windows for every two windows that you buy, plus zero down, zero interest, and zero payments for 24 months. 866-90-NATION or windownation.com. That's 866-90-NATION or windownation.com. And make sure that you tell Window Nation that you want the deal that you heard about from Al Galdi on the Nats Chat podcast.
Tim Shover's here to tell you about Game Time. This summer at Jiffy Lube Live, acts include Neil Young, Hank Williams Jr., and Chris Stapleton. If you're interested in finding tickets to any of these shows, make sure to check out the Game Time app. Game Time is the only ticketing app that gives you complete peace of mind with your purchase. See the view from your seat before you buy, so you know exactly what to expect when you arrive. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code NATSCHAT for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code NATSCHAT for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
And now the pitch. Swing by Rosario. It's a mile-high pop-up behind second base. Out is the shortstop, Rojas, under it, waiting for it to come down, and he's got it, and this game is over.
Nats bullpen late night on Tuesday night. Two Nats relievers officially combined to allow one run in 1 2/3 innings, as, yes, Davey Martinez, for the first time in quite some time, did not use at least four relievers in a game. Derek Law faced three batters, got two outs, came into the game, bottom of the seventh, runners at the corners, one out, Nats down 4-2. He, to the first batter he faced, gave up a one-out RBI infield single by Teoscar Hernandez on a tapper to the third base side of the infield for a 5-2 Dodgers lead. So unlucky there for Derek Law, but, you know, he, for some reason, touched the baseball before it went foul. I thought that was odd. It looked like that baseball was headed foul. But to Law's credit, he then generated back-to-back swinging strikeouts of pinch hitters Max Muncy and James Outman. And then Tanner Rainey pitched. He allowed a run in the bottom of the eighth, during which he gave up a double, an RBI single, an infield single, and a walk. So another rough outing for Rainey. He threw 26 pitches, a mere 14 strikes versus 12 balls. We've talked about this, but as he works his way back from that Tommy John surgery that he underwent in August 2022, we are seeing him relegated to mop-up duty, and his performances are not earning his way out of mop-up duty.
No, he is the low man on the totem pole in the bullpen. That is clear. He hadn't pitched in several days prior to this, and the situations that he is pitching in are trailing by more than one or two runs for the most part. That's where he is. Until he shows otherwise, that's where he's going to stay. He's healthy by all accounts, but he is not up to where he was prior to the injury. Now, let's also be clear. He had his moments prior to that injury, but it's not like he had really established himself as a lockdown late inning reliever. He was still in the process of doing that. So if the velocity doesn't come back for him all the way to where it was, I don't know that he's going to have the stuff to become a late inning reliable reliever again. That's unfortunate. You hope it doesn't come to that. You hope that over time he does get it back. But right now, the performance doesn't resemble what we've seen from him. But even more than that, the stuff does not resemble what we've seen from him in the past.
All right, one more thing here. The Nationals on Tuesday afternoon announced the alumni scheduled to attend their five-year anniversary World Series championship celebration this weekend for this three-game series against the Houston Astros. And the players announced as attending in terms of alumni, Patrick Corbin, Sean Doolittle, Brian Dozier, Adam Eaton, Javi Guerra, Howie Kendrick, Gerardo Parra, Tanner Rainey, Victor Robles, Anibal Sanchez, Kurt Suzuki, and Ryan Zimmerman. Not on that list, Steven Strasburg, with whom we got the contract resolution a few weeks ago and who has, in fact, officially retired. We all kind of presumed that one of the driving forces behind the Learners and the Strasburg camp finally resolving the contract circumstance was this anniversary celebration that was coming up. But Strasburg, at least according to what the Nats put out there on Tuesday afternoon, not scheduled to attend this five-year anniversary weekend. What do you make of that?
I'm not shocked. I'll say that. You hoped that maybe the combination of the deal finally getting done and the timing of this would lead to it. But I also would have thought maybe he would have actually held that retirement press conference previously, that this wouldn't be his first appearance back there since the retirement as part of this. Now, maybe they're not announcing it. He's just going to kind of show up and be part of the thing. Knowing him, I don't really see that happening. I think it does underscore that even though they did get a deal done, there's probably still some animosity there and some not great feelings between his side and the ownership side of the equation. And he may not feel either obligated to do anything to help them out as an organization, or even more than that, doesn't want to put himself in a position where he has to answer questions about this. One of these days, it's going to have to happen, I would imagine. You hope that he doesn't just disappear after that statement that he put out with the retirement and we never hear from him again. They're going to retire his number one of these days, whether it's this year, next year, some point down the road. It's unfortunate. I can't say I'm all that shocked. And I'm a little disappointed overall in the list of guys that are coming to this. Now, here's the thing. When you decide to do this only 5 years into it, and a lot of the players, the most prominent players of that team, are still in the big leagues and many of them with other teams, it's kind of hard to pull this thing off. I get why they're doing it. It's sort of a makeup for not really being able to do a lot in 2020 because of COVID. And the Astros are in town. So like I understand the rationale for it. But I feel like this is not going to be the event that it could be because of the timing of it, because of who is going to be there and who's not going to be there. And deep down, I wonder if they would have been better off just waiting for a 10-year anniversary. A little more time, a little more distance. Everybody's retired at that point and have a little more of a true reunion, everyone getting back together. We'll see. I'm sure it's going to be nice. I'm sure the fans are going to have a great ovation for the guys who are there. I'm sure the guys who are there are going to have a great time reminiscing about it. But it is still relatively fresh, less than 5 years. And as I said, it's not just about, you know, like Strasburg or a few others who were on the team and aren't coming back. It's that a lot of these guys are still playing elsewhere and you can't really get them to come in the middle of the season. So not the ideal set of circumstances, I think, for holding one of these events.
The list is extremely underwhelming. Like you were just saying, I mean, so many of the key guys from 2019 are still active, but with other teams. But, you know, you look at that list, no Juan Soto, no Trey Turner, no Max Scherzer. It's like, okay, what are we doing here? I mean, Daniel Hudson, like, he's not coming.
Well, he just pitched, in the ninth inning of this game here.
Yeah, right. Like, it's like, okay, why are we here? You know, with Strasburg, I would say this, because I've thought about this. I wonder sometimes if, like, maybe he's in the midst of, like, some severe depression over what happened with him. And, like, he just doesn't want to be around the Nats again. He doesn't want to be reminded of everything that he can no longer be a part of, you know? And if that's the case, then I would say I do have sympathy for him in that regard. You know, we also don't know exactly what his physical state is. You know, it has been reported that he has suffered severe nerve damage. Maybe he's embarrassed or ashamed to show up in public in a diminished state of himself. If that's the case, I would say I have sympathy for him. But if he's doing okay mentally and physically, and he's not coming just because he's mad at the Learners, or he's not coming because he doesn't want to come, then I've got a real problem with that. You know, he's still getting paid a lot of money by this organization. It's not that big of an ask, again, if you're feeling okay and doing okay to show up to something like this, especially given the underwhelming roster of alumni. All due respect to those who are coming that will be in attendance. So, you know, there's a lot we don't know here, which is always one of the really tricky aspects of talking about Strasburg. But man, if he is doing okay, I can't think of a good reason for him not to show up to this, especially, again, given the money that he's being paid by this organization. It's not that big of an ask for him to show up to something like this.
Well, and it's also notable because he's one of the few guys who still lives in the area. So it's not like he has to come from out of town to attend anything there. So I would like to know more. I wish we did know more. I feel like this is a case that it's going to take some time for everything to heal as far as that goes. Him physically, perhaps him mentally, and for that relationship between him and the team. I do think eventually there's going to be some kind of great Steven Strasburg celebration at Nationals Park. I don't know when that's going to happen. I hope he understands what it will mean to fans and hope that it's something that he can enjoy himself. I could understand maybe some reasons why he's not ready for that right now. And maybe his presence would overwhelm the whole event and nobody else is getting attention. I don't know. It's hard to know what really goes on in his head, but you raise good points about reasons that maybe are there as why he's not going to be attending, or at least isn't scheduled to attend. Let's see. I know we thought we weren't done talking about Steven Strasburg. I feel like we're going to be bringing his name up again from time to time for quite some time.
Just when we thought we were out, we got pulled back in. Hey, we are offering the opportunity for you to deliver shout-outs on installments of the Nats Chat podcast this season. Consider it the podcast version of a message on the Nationals Park scoreboard. And we have a message from Andrew. He wants to give a special Nats Chat shout-out to his family living in enemy territory outside Philadelphia. First, a happy 7th birthday to Josh, a Jay Gray, who loves cheering on his favorite player, another Jay Gray, Josiah. And thanks to mom and big sister for putting up with all of dad's Nats Chat listening. Have a great day, Josh. Hope that you get to see another grand slam against the Phillies this summer. If you would like to have a Nats Chat shout out delivered on your behalf, email Tim Shovers, that email address, natschatpodcast@gmail.com. This installment of the Nats Chat podcast has been brought to us by the Fred Nats Star Wars Night in Northern Virginia this upcoming Saturday evening on April 20th. Tickets start at just $10. You can buy your tickets now at frednats.com/tickets. Catch the future stars of the Washington Nationals right down the road in Fredericksburg. Hit us up on X at @Nats_chat. You can email the show, as mentioned, natschatpodcast@gmail.com. We have a website that we invite you to check out as well. That website is natschatpodcast.com. And you can find us on YouTube. Just search Nats Chat. All Nationals radio highlights on Nats Chat are courtesy of 106.7 The Fan. For Mark Zuckerman, I'm Al Galdi. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next time on the Nats Chat podcast.
Here's the set and the pitch. Swing, a fly ball deep left. This is going to be a grand slam. It is long gone. And the Nationals lead 4-3. Stone Garrett brings them all in with a grand slam. His fifth home run of the season on the very first pitch from Suarez. And the Nationals are in front for the first time today.
Happy birthday, Josh, from all of us here at Nats Chat.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.